Want to cover the list, could this in the way with a petition on public neighbor legislation one. Once, when there was an inundation, the rain was pouring down in great torrents. Torah Kalun, Torah. Opa. So, when there was that inundation at the time of the devastation of the universe that took place, as we heard, during a nap, a midday nap in the day of Lord Brahma, that an inundation took place and Swayam Satyavrata Muni was told by the Lord, the Matsya incarnation, the Lord is a fish, that a boat would come at that time and he would put various, he would go in that boat with sages and various creepers and herbs. And when the waters of inundation became very great, he himself, as Matsya, the incredibly huge fish incarnation, would appear and bind the ship that he was on to the horn on Matsya with Vasuki, the great serpent. So when Satyavrata Muni did this, he felt very satisfied and he began to offer prayers to the Lord. So I'll read the prayers and then we'll hear Prabhupada's purports. Now Prabhupada's purports are not long, but there's a very important point that Prabhupada is going to make again and again, which really comes to the essence of Krishna consciousness and how one becomes Krishna conscious and how one learns transcendental knowledge, both in its theoretical and practical aspects. So the king said to the great Matsya avatar, he said, "By the grace of the Lord, those who have lost their self-knowledge since time immemorial, and who, because of this ignorance, are involved in a material, conditioned life full of miseries," because material life means miseries, even though everyone is trying their best to avoid miseries and to gain as much happiness as possible, yet everyone gets miseries and not sufficient happiness. So this comes to losing their self-knowledge because of the identification with the body, and it's been going on. So what happens by the grace of the Lord? They obtain the chance to meet the Lord's devotee. I accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Supreme Spiritual Master. We'll read the verses first. In hopes of becoming happy in this material world, the foolish conditioned soul performs fruitive activities that result only in suffering. Fruitive activities, the term is one that that we use quite frequently. Fruitive, just like when someone plants a tree, it is to get the fruit from the tree. So there is work done not for its own purpose. Not for the purpose of the work itself, but is to get a result from the work. So that is called the fruitive act. When someone works in a job, it's not that they like the job, and generally they dislike the job, and therefore they say, "Thank God it's Friday, because the job is over for the week, and they have 2 days when they don't have to work." So at least they thank God it's Friday. But that's fruit of work. There's no pleasure in the work itself. They're not working because they like to work. They're working because they want the paycheck, which comes as a result of the work. They want the fruit that comes from their work. So fruit of work means doing something that you don't like, something miserable, forced into servitude for some time. So it's suffering by definition, practically speaking. So in the hopes of becoming happy, like the carrot dangled in front of the donkey to make him run after it all day long, with the hope of becoming happy in the material world, the foolish conditioned soul performs fruitive activities that result only in suffering, because that happiness is so elusive. But by rendering services to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is on the other hand, another way to find happiness, not through the path of fruitive work, trying to work with the hope that the fruit will come of happiness. But by rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes free from such false desires for happiness. Thinking in that way, that through the satisfaction of the body and senses, I'll become happy. So those desires go by serving the Lord. And then he ends that second verse of his prayers with a prayer. May my supreme spiritual master cut the knot of false desires from the core of my heart. That's a nice prayer, because here we are, we all know better. At least I could speak for myself, that these fruitive activities based on the senses do not bring happiness. Yet these desires sit so firmly and securely in the heart. So we want them cut out. How these false desires should be cut by the Supreme Spiritual Master, by the Lord. Vidyantisto yabhadrani vidunoti suritsitam. Next verse. One who wants to be free of material entanglements should take up the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and give up the contamination of ignorance involving pious and impious activities. Thus one regains his original identity, just as a block of gold or silver sheds all dirt and becomes purified when treated with fire. Narottama Das Thakur, he compares many times, he compares pure love for God with the purity of gold that has been purified thousands of times in fire. This is the process of extracting the impurities from the actual gold, from removing them. So then the gold, after it's been purified and purified 1,000 times, it's so free from any impurity. Amal. So our original identity as a pure soul is like that. But it has to be purified with the process of devotional service, which in the analogy is like fire. May that inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead become our spiritual master, for he is the original spiritual master of all other spiritual masters. So that is the qualification of a spiritual master, who is that he passes on the knowledge of Krishna that Krishna gives, but he passes it on as it is. So therefore Prabhupada called his Bhagavad Gita the Bhagavad Gita as it is. In other words, Krishna's message has not been ameliorated or changed. So this is called the system of Guru Parampara, Imam Parampara Praptam Imam Rajasyo Vidu. This is the system that the spiritual master hears from his spiritual master, or the disciple hears from his spiritual master, who has heard from his spiritual master, who has heard from his spiritual master, and nothing changed, concocted, and the original spiritual master is Krishna. Neither all the demigods, nor all the so-called gurus, nor all other people, either independently or together, can offer mercy that equals even 1/10,000th of yours. Therefore, I wish to take shelter of your lotus feet. This is how he says to the Lord. Because Krishna's mercy can bring us to his lotus feet in the spiritual world. And where can the mercy of anyone else bring us? Everyone may be very well intentioned, and they can give us mercy according to their understanding and according to their capacity. If we're hungry, they can give us a loaf of bread. But that mercy doesn't remove us from the cause of misery. So the ultimate mercy, which only Krishna can award, is to take us out of the material world into his lotus feet. Therefore, he concludes, therefore I wish to take shelter of your lotus feet. I don't want this other kind of mercy, which ultimately isn't mercy at all. As a blind man, being unable to see, accepts another blind man as his leader. People who do not know the goal of life accept someone as guru, who is a rascal and a fool. But we are interested in self-realization. Therefore, we accept you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as our spiritual master, for you are able to see in all directions and are omniscient like the sun. So that means he is all-knowing. He's able to see in all. He knows everything, able to see everywhere at all times, omniscient, knows everything. And therefore, he can give the appropriate instructions, because people whose vision and consciousness and knowledge is limited can only naturally and obviously give limited instructions. But the unlimited can give instructions that give unlimited benefit. And again, the limited can give, those who know limitedly can only give, can only instruct us and give mercy for limited benefit. So he doesn't want, there he is in the most, he's in the water of inundation of the universe, faced with destruction. And he's held on to the Lord, and he wants to keep holding on for the Lord more than symbolically and more than actually. But he wants to hold on to the Lord because he knows in his full consciousness, this is actually what yoga means. And this is the lack. We naturally have a connection with Krishna, but we consciously turn our back, we forget. So we want to get the mercy that comes from reestablishing that connection. So he's very fixed in this, Satyavrata Muni is. A materialistic so-called guru, and he's specifically rejecting any other type of guidance in the material world that may help on a certain level but won't help on the ultimate level because it's limited. So a materialistic so-called guru instructs his materialistic disciples about economic development and sense gratification. I remember years ago when we first went to Vrindavan, there was a guru who had he has a big temple there now. He's quite dead though. But he had a mystic ability to predict which way the stocks are going. So you can imagine how popular he was. So everyone would come, pay their respects. He was a heavy chain smoker though, that's probably why he's still not around. But he had that ability, and people would come to him and offer respects and get blessings. But what did they want? They wanted to know which stocks to invest in and which ones to get out of. That is not what a guru is. A guru is one who can take us out of the material world altogether, and it will instruct us in that way and doesn't give these temporary beneficial instructions. Sometimes temporary advice is required in the service of the spiritual, but it is not an end of itself. Sometimes there has to be advice on married life, how to organize society, how to have proper economic development. That type of advice is there so people can live their life peacefully in such a way that, like the tracks of the train, that their material life is going parallel to their spiritual life. Because if one track, because here we are in the material world and we're not fully spiritual, you know, we have very deep material needs, and if our minds are disturbed because our material needs aren't satisfied, our minds are so disturbed that our spiritual life will be disorganized as well. So therefore, a spiritual master may give advice to help one get his material life organized So that, but the purpose of that will be in the service and the betterment of the spiritual. But these materialistic gurus have materialistic disciples who aren't interested in the spiritual at all, but are coming to cheat each other, basically. You accept me as guru and I'll make you materially successful. But no true spiritual teacher teaches, preaches, explains that the material world, this earth, is our home. No, in no religion, no bona fide religion, no bona fide teacher teaches us, yes, what you should be is happy in the material world. No. Real life, our real life is somewhere else. Because we're souls, we're eternal, and the material world is a foreign place for us, actually. So a materialistic so-called guru instructs his materialistic disciples about economic development and sense gratification. And because of such instructions, the foolish disciples continue in the material existence of ignorance, thinking that this is the purpose of it all. And then they die, and where do they go? Nowhere eternal, that's for sure, because they have no desires on the eternal level. So why would they go there? But your lordship, different from these gurus, always when there's the word but, there is a change of topics to contrast. But your lordship gives knowledge that is eternal. And the intelligent person receiving such knowledge is quickly situated in his original constitutional position. My lord, you are the supreme well-wishing friend of everyone, the dearmost friend, the controller, the supersoul, the supreme instructor, and the giver of supreme knowledge and the fulfillment of all desires. But although you are within the heart, the foolish, because of lusty desires in the heart, cannot understand you. O Supreme Lord, for self-realization I surrender unto you, who are worshipped by the demigods as the supreme controller of everything. By your instructions, exposing life's purpose, kindly cut the knot from the core of my heart and let me know the destination of my life. So those are the prayers of Satyavrata Muni. He's accepting the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Spiritual Master, and he's asking that Lord to not give him just material benefit, because that is not the purpose of accepting either the Lord or his representative, the spiritual master, but please give him that knowledge that will bring him to his constitutional position as an eternal servant. Let him know, kindly cut the knot of material desires from the core of my heart, from the very center of my heart. And let me know the destination of my life. So cut the ropes of bondage. And let me know after I am free where I should go. So now we'll read what Prabhupada said. So he's taking, Satyavrata Muni is taking shelter of this, of the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Spiritual Master. First purport, where he said that he said that everyone is in the world trying to enjoy, but by Krishna's grace, despite their attempt to enjoy, misery comes. But yet by Krishna's grace, they come in contact with devotees of Krishna, representatives of the Supreme Lord. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the Supreme Spiritual Master, the original Spiritual Master. The Supreme Lord knows everything about the suffering of the conditioned soul, and therefore he appears in this material world, sometimes personally, sometimes by an incarnation, and sometimes by authorizing a living being to act on his behalf. This is called Shaktavish. When the actual Shakti or the energy of the Lord enters into someone and empowers him. So we can say that Prabhupada was a Shaktavish avatar, in the sense that although he was a human being, but he was empowered to preach Krishna Shakti Nahivina Tarpavartana. Unless one has Krishna Shakti, one can't do what Prabhupada did. One can't do it on his own, by his own power. So these are the different ways that Krishna helps those in the material world, by his own energy. He comes himself or through empowering different entities, beings, persons. The Lord is always busy helping the conditioned souls in many ways. Therefore, he's addressed here as Paramo Guru Bhavan, the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who acts to spread Krishna consciousness, is also guided by the Supreme Lord to act properly in executing the Lord's order. Such a person may appear to be an ordinary human being, but because he acts on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Spiritual Master, he is not to be neglected as ordinary. I've heard Prabhupada say that just like the deity, everyone knows that the deity is made out of stone or brass or some other material. But if one thinks that the deity is only stone or brass, or some other material thing, then that is an offense. Yes, he is that, but he's not only that. He's that, but Krishna has accepted this form, and Krishna is acting through this form. And if one's faith is deep, then Krishna will directly manifest himself through that form, which on one level is brass or stone. But not only brass and stone. After all, it's Krishna's energy. It's God's energy. So why can't God act through that? So he manifests his potency. He can fully manifest his potency through the deity. And the same thing is true with the spiritual master. So he shouldn't be neglected as an ordinary human being. Neglected as ordinary, meaning thought of as ordinary. So if one's faith is deep, then Krishna will manifest himself fully through the acharya or teacher, spiritual master. It is therefore said, acharyam mam vijaniyat, an acharya who acts on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be understood to be as good as the Supreme Lord himself. Shakshad hari trinasamasta sastreya uktastata bhavyatta eva sadvi Kintu Prabhu ya priya vitasya mande guru sri charanavindam. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is advised that the spiritual master acting on the Supreme Lord's behalf must be worshipped as being as good as the Supreme Lord, for he is the Lord's most confidential servant in broadcasting the Lord's message for the benefit of the conditioned souls involved in the material world. So Shakshad means directly. So this is how spiritual master should be accepted. Text 48. So this is going to be the main theme, in one sense, of that Prabhupada brings out in these prayers, because Satyavrata Muni accepts the Matsya incarnation avatar as his spiritual master and asks him, the Lord, to instruct him. So he's accepting the Lord directly. The Lord is directly there, like Krishna was directly there for Arjuna on the battle of Kurukshetra. And Prabhupada's purports are going to focus on how we gain those instructions. And that has very much to do with accepting a representative of Krishna. This is Krishna's system. This is how Krishna will instruct the living entities, the humans, us. So in the text 48, he says, may that inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead become our spiritual master. In other words, please instruct me, just like Arjuna said to Krishna, shishashteham sarimam prapadyam, just instruct me, please, I'm surrendering to you. So he's surrendering and asking to be instructed. We'll read from the last paragraph of Prabhupada's purport. Even though we may not have the fortune to contact the Supreme Lord personally, the Lord's representative is as good as the Lord himself, because such a representative does not say anything unless it is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore gives the definition of Guru. Yare deka tarikaha krishnupadesh. The bona fide Guru is he who advises his disciples exactly in accordance with the principles spoken by Krishna. The bona fide Guru is he who has accepted Krishna as Guru. This is the Guru Parampara system. The original Guru is Vyasadeva because he is the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein everything spoken relates to Krishna. Therefore, Guru Puja is known as Vyasa Puja. In the final analysis, the original Guru is Krishna. His disciple is Narada, whose disciple is Vyasa. In this way, we gradually come in touch with the Guru Parampara. One cannot become a Guru if he does not know what the personality of Godhead Krishna or his incarnation wants. So what? Because one has to represent the Lord. So one has to know what his desires are to be able to pass them to his student, disciple. And what are those? What does the Lord want? The mission of the Guru is the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. This is Krishna's desire. This is the desire of the Guru Parampara, the chain of the Supreme Succession. The desire of Prabhupada and all the desires of all the followers of Prabhupada. Next verse. He says, no one can give mercy like you, therefore I wish to take shelter of your lotus feet. Prabhupada's purport. It is said, kamas taistar vritagyana prapadyante anya devata. People in general, being motivated by material desires, worship the demigods to get fruitive results very quickly. In other words, we take shelter of those who can give us the immediate results. This is what people in general do, and Prabhupada will often refer to them as fools and rascals because it doesn't really satisfy us, and we know that. And yet we do it, therefore fools. People generally do not become devotees of Lord Vishnu, since Lord Vishnu never becomes the order supplier of his devotee. Lord Vishnu, God, does not give a devotee benedictions that will create a further demand for benedictions. By worshipping the demigods, one may get results. But as described in Bhagavad Gita, antavattu phalam tesham nabhavat yalpa medasam, whatever great benedictions one may achieve from the demigods are all temporary. Because the demigods themselves are temporary, their benedictions are all temporary and have no permanent value. Those who aspire for such benedictions have a poor fund of knowledge. The benedictions of Lord Vishnu are different. By the mercy of Lord Vishnu, one can be completely free from material contamination and go back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, the benedictions offered by the demigods cannot compare to even 1/10,000th of the Lord's benedictions. One should not, therefore, try to obtain benedictions from the demigods or false gurus. One should aspire only for the benediction offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Savadamam Prityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tam Sava Papebhyo Moksha Shami Masujaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. This is the greatest benediction. In the next text, 50, it says, we don't accept anyone else. We accept you because you know everything. You're omniscient like the sun. You all know all the directions. Prabhupada's purport. The conditioned soul, being wrapped in ignorance and not knowing the goal of life, accepts a guru who can juggle words and make some display of magic that is wonderful to a fool. Sometimes a foolish person accepts someone as guru because he can manufacture a small quantity of gold by mystic yogic power. Because such a disciple has a poor fund of knowledge, he cannot judge whether the manufacture of gold is the criterion for a guru. So what is Prabhupada, what is Satyavrata Muni saying the criterion for a guru is? What is Prabhupada saying? What is it? Yeah, he instructs in such a way that the disciple won't have material desires, but he makes it clear what to do and what to remove the desires and what the goal actually is. And the goal is transcendental. It is not in the material world. And he has to know Krishna's desires. He has to represent Krishna. So what the criterion for a guru is not, oh, he can produce some gold, oh, or some ash, or something like that, or can press the eyes and you see the light. So these sound silly to us, but they don't sound silly to a lot of people, because we have some knowledge already by the mercy of Prabhupada. Therefore, it sounds foolish. But there's millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people who don't know that the goal of spiritual life or the goal of religion is transcendental, to get out and to take full shelter for the soul, us, to take full shelter of God and become his eternal servant. Because such a disciple has a poor fund of knowledge, he cannot judge whether the manufacture of gold is the criterion for a guru. Why should one not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, from whom unlimited numbers of gold mines come into being? Aham savasya prabhavo mataksavam pravartite. All the gold mines are created by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, why should one accept a magician who can manufacture only a small portion of gold? Such gurus are accepted by those who are blind, not knowing the goal of life. Maharaj Satyavrata, however, knew the goal of life. He knew the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he accepted the Lord as his guru. Either the Supreme Lord or his representative can become guru. The Lord says, Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etan tarantite. One can get relief from the clutches of maya as soon as he surrenders unto me. Therefore, it is the guru's business to instruct his disciple to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he wants relief from the material clutches. This is the symptom of the guru. So the guru doesn't say, surrender unto me. He says, surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Surrender unto Krishna, because that's Krishna's instruction. The same principle was instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yare Deka Tare Kaha Krishna Ubadesh. In other words, one is advised not to accept the guru who does not follow the path of instruction by Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada had said the same thing before. And again, the emphasis on preaching. Next prayer. If one follows, your Lordship gives this transcendental knowledge, and that will quickly situate one in his original position as a servant of God. This is who we naturally are. And therefore, like a fish out of water, matsya is in the water, but like a fish out of water never can become satisfied. So we, out of our natural environment of the service of God, of Krishna, can never be satisfied, no matter what we do. No matter what amenities we surround ourselves with. Prabhupada's purport. So-called gurus instruct their disciples for the sake of material profit. Some guru advises that one meditate in such a way that his intelligence will increase in regard to keeping his body fit for sense gratification. Another guru advises that sex is the ultimate goal of life and that one should therefore engage in sex to the best of his ability. These are the instructions of foolish gurus. Actually, if you go on the internet and type in guru into the search engine, you'll find so many gurus, but none of them have anything to do with God. There's electronic gurus and this kind of guru and financial gurus, and it's quite peculiar. That's the tendency of modern materialistic culture, to incorporate everything that's deep and make it superficial. That's what its business is. That's the, and make a seminar out of it and charge money. That's basically what people do. They take these concepts that are very deep from older cultures and they just streamline it, market it, package it, market it, and sell it and 3 days for 3 day enlightenment series package. They have ones, you know, get your psychic powers, get your, you know, get this, get that, God realize, so many. And people, they have so much money, they don't know what to do with it. So they just, that's what they do with it. There's a sincere spark, but blind and foolish due to all the ignorant propaganda that's going around. Prabhupada, he really wanted the devotees to challenge these kind of things. Of course, we're not so much in that mood nowadays that we go out and say, you're all rascals and all fools, because we realize nowadays that we're also rascals and fools, that we haven't quite come up to the standard yet. But Prabhupada, he was fearless because he was not a rascal and a fool. He went out, he said, rascals and fools, so boldly, bluntly. One time in Hong Kong, some reporter was asking about some Guru Maharaji, and Prabhupada didn't want to say anything. And finally, the reporter kept on pushing, and Prabhupada said, he's a dog! A cheater and a dog! And the reporter was thrilled. Great story! You know, Guru calls another Guru a cheater and a dog. Prabhupada was very bold like that. So, now we've become humble in our approach. For good reason in one sense, but it's not exactly what Prabhupada wanted. So rather we should become very realized and then we can be bold and not superficially bold and hollow. Because if we're bold but don't have depth, we ring hollow. So we should become deep and then bold. Prabhupada's purport. So-called gurus instruct their disciples for the sake of material profit. Some guru meditate in such a way that his intelligence will increase in regard to keeping his body fit, sense gratification, and sex is the goal of life. These are instructions of foolish gurus. In other words, because of the instructions of a foolish guru, one remains perpetually in material existence and suffers its tribulations. But if one is intelligent enough to take instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as enunciated in Bhagavad Gita or the Sankhya philosophy of Kapiladeva, one can very soon attain liberation and be situated in its original position of spiritual life. The words Nijam Padam in the verse are significant. The living entity, being part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has the birthright to a position in Vaikuntha Loka or the spiritual world where there is no anxiety. Therefore, one should follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then it's stated in Bhagavad Gita, Takvadeham puna janmanaiti mameti sorajana. After giving up one's body, one will return home back to Godhead. The Lord lives in the spiritual world in his original personality, and a devotee who follows the instructions of the Lord approaches him, mameti. As a spiritual person, such a devotee returns to the personality of Godhead and plays and dances with him. That is the ultimate goal of life. So then Satyabrata Muni says that you give everything and you're right there in the core of our hearts. You're there. Sarvasya taham vridesana visto. But yet, although he is there, he can't see him because our heart is covered with so many desires, selfish, petty, materialistic desires. Prabhupada's purport. And therefore we can't understand him. Prabhupada's purport. Herein the reason for foolishness is described. Because the conditioned soul in the material world is full of materialistic, lusty desires, he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although the Lord is situated in everyone's heart, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Riddhishe Arjuna Tishyati. It is because of this foolishness that one cannot take instructions from the Lord, although the Lord is ready to instruct everyone, both externally and internally. The Lord says, Didami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upayanti Te. In other words, the Lord can give instructions on devotional service by which one can return home back to Godhead. Unfortunately, however, people do not take this devotional service. The Lord, being situated in everyone's heart, can give one complete instructions on going back to Godhead. But because of lusty desires, one engages himself in materialistic activities and does not render service to the Lord. It's like you see so many of the youth today, they walk around, but they're plugged in. They have their earphones on all the time. So they're completely unaware of what's going on around them. They can't hear anything. So we are like that. We're plugged into the wrong channel, and we're listening to that all the time, material desires. And we keep changing the channel. When we get bored with one material desire, we change it to another channel and listen to other material desires and plans and schemes. So because of that loud racket going on continuously in our minds due to the impure heart, we can't hear Krishna, even though he's right there and tells us exactly what we should do. Vadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upyante ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya. Krishna explains, if we worship him with devotion then, and have a clean heart, a pure heart, maya tateshu chapyam, he is in there for real. Now he's there, but practically he's neutral because of us acting neutrally to him or averse to him. In other words, the Lord can give instructions on devotional service by which one can return home back to Godhead. Unfortunately, however, people do not take this devotional service. The Lord, being situated in everyone's heart, can give one complete instructions on going back to Godhead. But because of lusty desires, one engages himself in materialistic activities and does not render service to the Lord. Therefore, one is bereft of the value of the Lord's instructions. By mental speculation, one can understand that one is not the body but a spirit soul. But unless one engages in devotional service, the real purpose of life is never fulfilled. The real purpose of life is to go back home, back to Godhead, and live with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, play with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, dance with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and eat with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just exchange loving dealings with him forever. These are different items of ananda, the spiritual happiness and spiritual variegatedness. Even though one may come to the platform of Brahma Bhuta and understand his spiritual identity by speculative knowledge, one cannot enjoy spiritual life without understanding the Supreme Personality of God. This is indicated here by the words Abhishta Siddha. One can fulfill the ultimate goal of life by engaging in devotional service to the Lord. Then the Lord will give one proper instructions on how to go back home, back to Godhead. So then he says, and this is the final verse of his prayers, he surrenders for self-realization and begs the Lord to expose by his instructions life's purpose. Kindly cut the knot of all these desires from my heart and let me know what I should actually be doing with my life. That is a very brave thing to ask the Lord. Tell me. And then to actually follow what he says takes very deep sincerity. And to follow it for a little time takes sincerity. And then we do that sometimes and we get training, and then we can sort of go about our own life in a way that will bring us closer to him and not further away. But to completely surrender continuously takes such depth of sincerity. So this is what Satyavrata Muni is asking, because the Lord is pulling him with his potency. He's pulling him in his boat. So we similarly want the Lord to pull us through his instructions to his lotus feet. But we have to hold on to those instructions. Sometimes it is argued that people do not know who is a spiritual master. and that finding a spiritual master from whom to get enlightenment in regard to the destination of life is very difficult. To answer all these questions, King Satyavrata shows us the way to accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the real spiritual master. The Supreme Lord has given full directions in Bhagavad Gita about how to deal with everything in the material world and how to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, in this material world, therefore, one should not be misled by so-called gurus who are rascals and fools. So Prabhupada would always say that it is not hard to see who is guru. You just have to know what the standard is. Then it's very easy to see, to discriminate. One should not be misled by so-called gurus who are rascals and fools. Rather, one should directly see the Supreme Personality of Godhead is as the guru or instructor. It is difficult, however, to understand Bhagavad Gita without the help of the guru. Therefore, the guru appears in the parampara system. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead recommends Tad Bidhi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevya Upashanti Tegyanam Gyaninas Tatvadarshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. In other words, it is not hard to understand who the supreme guru is, the ultimate guru, the actual guru, from whom every other guru is merely a representative. So one can understand that God is the supreme guru. And once one understands what his words are, then it is easy to understand whose words and actions are representing the Lord. And it is very difficult to understand the Supreme Lord's words and actions without the help of that guru. So by the mercy of the guru, one understands the Supreme Guru. And then by the mercy of the Supreme Guru, one understands everything else. Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasarivai Bhakti Lata Beach. By the mercy of Krishna and the guru, one gets the seed of devotional service, the proper desire planted in the heart, the taste, the proper taste, and the proper methodology for cultivating that desire and taste. Lord Krishna directly instructed Arjuna. Arjuna is therefore tatvadarshi, or guru, one who has seen the truth. Arjuna accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. Similarly, following in the footsteps of Sri Arjuna, one who is a personal devotee of the Lord, one should accept the supremacy of Lord Krishna as supported by Vyas, Devila, Asita, Narada, and later by the Acharyas, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarka, and Vishnu Swami, and still later by the greatest Acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Where then is the difficulty in finding a guru? If one is sincere, he can find the guru and learn everything. One should take lessons from the guru and find out the goal of life. Maharaj Satyavrata therefore shows us the way of the Mahajan. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. One should surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dasavatara, and learn from him about the spiritual world and the goal of life. So what the spiritual world is like and what the goal of life is not going to be explained now. That will be explained in the 10th canto. Actually, we'll get a very deep and broad glimpse of that. But here, a very important or essential element of attaining that is given by the instructions of Satyavrata, the king. And that is how to approach the guru. The Lord is guru, and therefore the Lord's representatives, same. Text 54. Sukadeva Goswami continued, when Satyavrata had thus prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had assumed the form of a fish, the Lord, while moving in the water of inundation, explained to him the absolute truth. The Supreme Personality of Godhead thus explained to King Satyavrata the spiritual science known as Sankhya Yoga. The science by which one distinguishes between matter and spirit, in other words, bhakti yoga, along with the instructions contained in the Puranas, the old histories, and the Samhitas. The Lord explained himself in all these literatures. While sitting in the boat, King Satyavrata, accompanied by the great saintly persons, listened to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in regard to self-realization. These instructions were all from the eternal Vedic literature, Brahma. Thus the king and sages had no doubt about the absolute truth. At the end of the last inundation, during the period of Swayambhuva Manu, the Supreme Personality of God had killed the demon named Hayagriva and delivered all the Vedic literatures to Lord Brahma when Lord Brahma awakened from sleeping. King Satyavrata was illuminated with all Vedic knowledge by the mercy of Lord Vishnu, and in this period he has now taken his birth as Vaivasvatamanu, the son of the sun god. The story concerning the great King Satyavrata and the fish incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is a great transcendental narration. Anyone who hears it is delivered from the reactions of sinful life. One who narrates this description of the Matsya incarnation in King Satyavrata will certainly have all his ambitions fulfilled, and he will undoubtedly return home back to Godhead. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who pretended to be a gigantic fish, who restored the Vedic literature to Lord Brahma when Lord Brahma awakened from sleep, and who explained the essence of Vedic literature to King Satyavrata and the great saintly persons. And here is Prabhupada's final purport and a little note, which will end the eighth canto. Here is a summary of Satyavrata's meeting with the fish incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu's purpose was to take back all the Vedic literatures from the demon Hayagriva and restore them to Lord Brahma. Incidentally, by his causeless mercy, the Lord spoke with Satyavrata. The word Satyavratananam is significant because it indicates that those on the level of Satyavrata can take advantage from the Vedas delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever is spoken by the Supreme Lord is accepted as Veda. Veda means knowledge or truth. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Vedanta Krit Veda Vit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the compiler of all the Vedic knowledge, and he knows the purport of the Vedas. Therefore, anyone who takes knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, knows the purpose of the Vedas. Vedas chasavar aham eva vidyo. By the Vedas, Krishna says, I am to be known. One cannot understand Vedic knowledge from the Veda Vada Ratas. One who reads the Vedas and misconstrues their subject matter. One has to know the Vedas from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or, as came out so many times in Prabhupada's purport, from his representatives. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 24th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Matsya, the Lord's Fish Incarnation, Prabhupada's note at the end: this commentation has been finished in our New Delhi center today, the 1st of September 1976, the day of Radhastami, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Acharyas. Srila Narottama Das Thakur says, Tanderal charana sevi bhakta sanevas janame janame hai eyabilas. I am attempting to present Srimad Bhagavatam in the English language by the order of my spiritual master, Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And by his grace, the work of translation is gradually progressing, and the European and American devotees who have joined the Krishna consciousness movement are helping me considerably. Thus, we have expectations of finishing the great task before my passing away. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. End of the 8th canto. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. So tomorrow, Krishna willing, begin canto 9.